Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on our series on the divine nature, and this will be part number 5. Now, I know I said at the end of part 4 that this was going to be a conclusion of it, but I also said at the beginning of that part that God may lead otherwise, and I do feel he's leading otherwise. Amen. So we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit more than we want to just do whatever we think. So get ready. I believe this is going to be a good one. And of course, before we get started, as is my custom, I want to introduce my lovely, beautiful, wonderful, and amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. God bless you all. It is so good to know that we can continue to learn. And the Bible is a treasure. The Bible is a treasure. I know we've said it before, but please, if you don't have one, buy one, get one, borrow one. But whatever you do, make sure that you actually read it. The Bible is the Word of God. I'm saying that because this is a powerful word that we're sharing, because it is the heart of God, the mind of Christ. It's the plans of God for your life. It's the way of salvation. It's the truth about eternity. It's the truth about the divine nature, about your power, your authority. I mean, this is big, important stuff, really, really good stuff. So how can we go through life without this truth? So we're going to continue, as my husband said, to speak about this divine nature. And it's definitely something that we should all aim for. I know that usually on January 1st, we all have, you know, our set goals. And usually number one is like lose weight. Well, you know what? We should quickly replace that. And yes, we should be fit, but we should pursue. We should desire more than anything else to actually have a divine nature, which is the key to an abundant life. So let's get ready and let's enjoy.
Amen, sweetheart. It's beautifully said. As always, you always have some great and awesome things to share. And as I have said before, you know, always feel free to jump in and add whatever you want, even if, you know, you need to, like, just say, hey, I got something to share right here. Yeah. And, you know, because I can get to talking and not pause when I need to pause at times. So jump in at any time, sweetheart.
Amen. Thanks.
All right. So I want to jump back to one of my previous verses that I kind of use as a foundation. I don't know if there was one particular one that I said was the foundation to this series, but I think there's two or three here. And one of them was Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, where Paul says my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There's quite a picture there painted about Christ being formed in us and about him laboring, you know. And we've said this before, you know, kind of the picture of a woman, you know, giving birth to a child, that she receives the seed, the sperm and the egg come together, and it begins the process of forming the child, you know, from a seed into what was it, they call a fetus, you know, into a baby, right, an embryo or whatever, and until it becomes a full-fledged baby and is born, you know, generally about 9 months later. And that process that takes place, you know, having to nurture the baby and care for it and going through prenatal, counseling and training and different things that the woman goes through. And you might want to add something on that. You know a little bit more about that than me, right? So go ahead and jump in here.
You're doing good. Go ahead. You're doing good, sweetie.
You know, so from my limited experience, you know, I would say that, you know, that the woman, you know, it gets the prenatal, you know, counseling and, you know, what needs to be done in order to care for the baby, the nutrition, right, and the preparation, you know, and even you probably like some of the exercises, and as well as the care and, you know, to be careful with her body and not doing things that maybe she was used to doing. You know, you're probably not going to go out and do gymnastics,
right,
you know, things of that nature.
That's going to,
or lifting heavy objects, things like that could hurt the baby. And even, you know, they talk about smoking and drinking and things of that some people do, you know, that can harm the baby, you know, and try to ensure that the baby gets all the care that it can to bring it to full term, healthy.
Right. The idea is, of course, once the woman, actually before she actually is pregnant and she is planning to have a baby, she should definitely go into that prenatal care, which is taking the necessary vitamins to prepare her body so that when the baby does come into her womb, the baby has the necessary nutrients and vitamins, and there is no lack or deficiency, which in turn can affect the baby's development. So God is so perfect the way he did it. And of course, the earlier a woman knows of this pregnancy, and the sooner she starts preparing and taking care of the baby, the more chances, I shouldn't say chances, but the more opportunity the baby has of being born healthy.
Yeah, that's so true, sweetheart. And of course, you know a lot more about it than I do. You know, you've been through it.
A little more.
You've been through it.
You did good. You did good.
I'm just going by what I've read, you know, and heard. Not by what I experienced. But praise be to God, you know, we have some parallels with that, with Scripture, you know, that tells us things that we need to do to prepare to become disciples of Christ. You know, it's not just a matter of, okay, just accept Jesus and bam, you're saved and go your way and do your own thing. No, there's a lot of things in the Scripture that tells us things that we need to do to prepare ourselves, as well as things we need to do after we receive. And that way we can ensure that we can develop the nature of Christ in us, because it's not just something we receive and it's in a full-fledged development stage, you know, fully from the onset, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not that case, you know. It's developed over time.
That's right.
It's not just time alone. It's steps that's taken during that time that ensure that we become Christ-like. And we see this in the Word, because he says that he labors in birth again until Christ is formed in them. And of course, he's also talking about many things that he was teaching them and instructing them, you know, to be imitators of him as he was of Christ, and the teachings and instructions that he gave, Paul himself, to the Galatians and to other churches. And so we see many things on that line, even the things that Jesus taught, you know. You know, some of the basic things we've talked about before, about unforgiveness.
That's
you know,
right.
And how important that is in the development of our walk with God. How far are we really going to go with God if we harbor unforgiveness or bitterness and those type of things in our life? We're not going to progress very far. And it even talks about husbands and wives and the relationships to one another, you know, where it says that, you know, husbands, don't be embittered against your wives, and wives submit to your husbands, and a husband's prayer could be hindered on how he treats his wife, you know. So likewise, it'd be the same way with the wife with the husband. But the point is, people talk about, well, all you need to do is have faith, and have faith that God will answer your prayers. But there are some things that can short circuit your prayers, and that's one specific thing that the Scripture talks about, that your prayers can be hindered. And we don't want to hinder our prayers. Because even Jesus said in Mark 11:25, you know, about unforgiveness, he said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone. He said, if you do not forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. So there's conditions that need to be met. And when we talk about conditions needing to be met, we're just basically talking about instructions that the Word gives us that helps us to walk along on the path of obedience to the Lord and to develop his character and his nature and his, you know, plan for our life, so that we can develop and become the person he wants us to become.
Right.
You know, because you don't see too many people walk in a great anointing that has a lot of sin in their life.
No.
You know, if they do, they're going to fall, you know, and,
right.
and it's going to be like a shipwreck. It's going to be bad. And, we don't want that.
No, you know, I wanted to add, as you were talking about unforgiveness and things that we harbor in our heart and things like that. For example, unforgiveness is definitely a poison to a relationship, especially for marriage and any other relationship for that matter. And I've heard sometimes some couples kind of justify or be content with their level of, I'm going to say, unforgiveness or love towards each other. For example, a couple that is barely surviving and feels like, well, that's fine. You know, at least we're not divorced. We're together. That's fine. But there's poison in the relationship because there's unforgiveness, there's bitterness. And so, for example, with the baby in the womb, you know, a mother that, you know, smokes or drinks alcohol and, you know, is just doing the wrong things, ingesting the wrong things, and that's harming the baby. But the baby is born, I'm going to do some air quotes here, normal, you know. And oh, you see that? I drank, I smoked, and my baby's fine. My baby was born normal. But you will never know, I guess, how much better the baby would have been born, how much more of the brain would have been developed in a healthier manner. You will never know if had you not done those things. So I guess what I'm saying is, we should always aim for the best. We shouldn't just be content with just saying, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm fine. No, if God is telling us that we have at our disposal, as a matter of fact, He paid for it, that we should pursue a divine nature. We shouldn't just be content with saying, well, this is good enough. I'm content where I'm at. I think you said something like that in the last previous podcast, that some Christians are just content with knowing that they're going to heaven. But God wants more in our walk here on earth. And we should, just the way we shouldn't be content with, well, as long as my baby doesn't die in the womb, I'm fine. No, we should aim to have the healthiest child possible, at least as much as we need to do on our end. We should aim to have the healthiest marriage possible, not just, well, at least I'm not divorced, you know. And so we should aim to be the most loving Christians possible, the most like Jesus Christians possible, that we can be, and not just be content with, well, at least I'm a Christian, at least, you know, one day when I die, I'm going to heaven.
That's so true, sweetheart, because basically not only they are shortchanging the Lord out of all that He paid for them to have, but they're also hindering other people from entering in, you know, because the Lord Jesus even told the Pharisees, you know, about them and their practices and the way they conducted themselves. He said that, you know, you go over land and sea to make a proselyte, you know, to proselyze. How do you say that word?
Proselyte.
Yeah. And to convert them to the faith, you know, and yet He said, but you make them twice the son of hell as yourself.
That is crazy.
You know, because they don't live the right life.
Right.
They're setting the wrong example and teaching the wrong things. And that's the last thing that we want to do, you know, in aspiring to be like Jesus. We want to be like Him as He is and as He was. And we see this also because some people say, well, you know, all this stuff sounds good, Brother Keith, but, you know, I don't see that in Scripture that I need to be like Him, because, you know, only one person can be Jesus, and that's Jesus Himself.
Right.
And we'll never measure up to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but here's what we're told, and I'll read it again. As I said in some earlier podcasts, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 3 and 4, says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, His power has made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we've been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. And it is the divine nature that empowers us to walk in victory over the flesh.
Amen.
And so then he goes on and says, and for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Amen.
And I find this is very powerful scripture, you know, that Peter gives is very much, you know, filled with so much wisdom of what he gained over the years of his walk mm-hmm. with the Lord. You know, most people always talk about his mm-hmm. failures. And he walked on the water and he sank, and he denied Jesus, you know, three Peter. Times, and he cussed. And he's always, you know,
saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing.
But yet his growth and his development shows right here in his epistles that he become one of the strongest and most mature and godly men of in history. And I am very impressed with, you know, the change and transformation that took place in his life. Because he tells you how it came. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, whereby we've been given exceeding grace and precious promise, that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption in the world through lust. So he knows firsthand what it means to receive the divine nature and having it form in him over a period of time and years mm-hmm. and maturing to that point of being Christ-like and to the point of being willing to die for his faith, you know, for the Lord. And that's an awesome place to be. His love for God was so much here. And we also read in another scripture, which I just found out here prior to the podcast, that we both were kind of looking at the same chapter, you know, of 1 John chapter 4. So God has been speaking to us Amen. On this line, because we were contemplating ending this series and starting one on walking in love. And yet we are going to talk about walking in love. And Amen. We may do a series on that particularly, but I just felt like, you know, this was still a part of the continuation of this series of the divine nature, because mm-hmm. as sweetheart, as I said prior to us starting this particular podcast tonight, I said, how can you have the divine nature and not have love, not be walking in love?
That's right.
Because it includes it, because God is love.
That's right.
So if you have his divine nature formed in you, you're going to have the love of God formed in mm-hmm. you. You're going to walk in it. And I find this interesting in this verse, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, particularly, where I'll back up here a verse, and he says in verse 16, he says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
As he is, so are we in this world. That if he's full of love, we're full of. If he's full of peace, we're full of peace. We have access to all that he had and is, because he lives in us. Amen. And as Paul said, until Christ be formed in us, Christ in us. And I go back to that scripture in Colossians chapter 1 is one of my favorite scriptures as well. And then I'll turn it over to you, sweetheart, to add many things that the Lord is probably speaking to your heart right now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 is the primary verse one I want to go to. He says in verse 25, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Wow, this is so powerful. If we get a revelation of that, what that means, Christ forming in us the hope of glory. This is the mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the world. And even says that the rulers had known what Jesus was about to do, to die, as he said, unless a seed, falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, then it produces much fruit. And that fruit is His Spirit in us, giving us the divine nature of God to form in us to be like Him.
Amen.
So not only is there one Jesus, there's multiple millions of those in His likeness walking the earth. And the devil cannot handle that.
That's right. And the Word says that they will know us by our love. Right? They will know us. I don't know if you've come across Christians who claim to be very spiritual, but there's something missing in the way they speak, the way they treat others, how much they glorify themselves, the lack of compassion. And honestly, it's kind of hard to really put two and two together and say this person is very spiritual, but seems very different from what Jesus is. On the contrary, I truly believe that the closer we are in terms of our surrender, the more we seek the Lord's face, we are going to be more humble, and we are going to be more like Jesus in terms of loving others, loving, you know, having compassion, and love the divine, in the divine nature, the fact that we can love, it's not even an option. I feel like there's so much to say about this, but I know that we're going to be talking about it in the next podcast also. But we pray that our listeners will surrender, and us too, of course, to what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, because of all the things, in all the different ways that we can grow in our character. We can have a lot going for us, but if we don't have love, not just I'm a good citizen, I do good charity kind of love, that's good, but if we don't have the love of God, then we still need to grow in our basic foundation. It's not like we can walk our Christian love and then also add a little bit of love to it. This is the main ingredient, because as so many of us know so well, John 3:16, it doesn't start saying, because for God is so powerful, for God is so amazing, for God is so, for God loved the world. He loved the world so much. That's the first thing that we see, because that's who God is. So we believe that the Holy Spirit, He's going to continue to work in us in this divine nature. And maybe, because we can't hide things from the Lord, maybe we've been very abundant in one area, showing this character, but the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I'm it's really good that you're doing this, but I need for you to allow me to teach you how to love, not only as a human being, but as God wants you to love others. And there's just this different level of compassion. You know, I want to share this, and this is very, very personal. But I remember many years ago, I've always had a heart for people who are still walking in the wrong choice of, going with the same sex, homosexuals, lesbians. My heart goes out to them in terms of they're making the wrong choice. But I'm going to confess, I've never really, besides a couple of people that I know close to me that, have made those choices. And of course, I feel very comfortable talking to them. I've never really even attempted to reach out or talk to anyone else. And I remember one day I walked into a shoe store. That's when Payless was still around. And I remember walking into the store, and immediately the person who was there, I think he was like the manager, it was obvious that he was a man, but he was completely dressed as a woman, transvestite. And I remember that my first initial response was like, oh, wow. Kind of like, wow, how can Payless have someone, you know, that has made this obvious choice completely dressed as a woman? I mean, it was just very obvious. It was it kind of like not even pleasant the way he was dressed. But I can tell you something. I'm not going to say I don't know what happened, because I know exactly what happened. From that initial few seconds of my, oh, wow, there was this overwhelming love that came upon me that I had never felt before towards transvestite homosexuals, lesbians. And I felt like I wanted to go ahead and embrace this person and tell him about the love of God. And I felt convicted, but at the same time, it was just this purity. I can't explain it. I knew it wasn't my love. This was not, I cannot take credit for that love, because I had never felt that level of love for a stranger. Never. Not even, non-transvestite, never. And I remember that I was looking for the opportunity. There were a couple of other customers in the store. And I remember that I looked for the opportunity to approach him, you know, one-on-one and speak to him. And I can tell you, I did not feel any kind of rejection, you know, any kind of wanting to distance myself from him. I wanted to get as close as possible to tell him about Jesus. And it was something supernatural. And I couldn't find the opportunity because he was helping some other customers. But when I went to pay for my shoes, I made sure that I had the time and I spoke to him. And we, guess what? We had a wonderful conversation. And, you know, I didn't ask any questions or why or what are you doing or listen. No, I just shared the love, the anointing that was on me, the fragrance of love that was on me, that embrace that was on me, I extended it to him.
That's beautiful.
And yes, it was. And I'll never, never forget that. And that changed me. That changed me because, of course, we're not saying that we approve what the Bible does not approve. No. The Lord does not approve, obviously, same-sex marriage. But how wonderful it is that we as light can actually approach those whose choices are not the right ones, that are walking in this darkness, and we can share the light with them, you know. Amen. And what I shared with him was the love of God for him. That's what I did. And I have to believe that if God led me in such a strong way to share the love of God with him, who knows? I mean, I never saw him again. The store closed after that. So I never saw him again. But I trust that love, not that he only heard about, that he felt that day, the love of God must have touched his heart. And I am sure it did something in him, through him, for him. And of course, what we're aiming for is that he came to know Jesus himself, and then the Lord himself will show him the right path and straighten all the crooked paths of his life.
Amen, sweetheart. That's a beautiful story. You know, a true story. It makes me think about what Jesus himself did. You know, people talk about when he walked the earth and he spoke to people and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and, you know, and things of that nature. And he did, you know, because he, you know, he saw that the people of children of Israel were not walking in what God had given them through the promises of Abraham, right? But at the same time, when he's hanging on the cross, dying for them, dying for the sins of the world, and that compassion comes upon him. Father, forgive them,
yes,
for they know not what they do. Wow. I mean, to that has to be a supernatural love.
Definitely. Absolutely.
That's coming from the Father through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
That is the divine nature.
Yes. You know,
now the divine nature isn't always going to act one way or this way or that way all the time. I mean, there's going to be time when he's going to, you know, he's going to rebuke people. He's going to correct them. But you know what? Having that love in us, the divine nature in us, that allows us to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the divine nature isn't our nature.
That's right, no.
It's his nature, his character, his spirit that lives in us, that has been perfecting us so that we're submitted and surrendered to his spirit and his spirit's leading in our lives. So like you said, you know, our natural inclination would be like, I'm going to back off from this, you know, because this is weird and strange and whatever. But the Holy Spirit moves on us.
Yes.
And he can really only do that as we submit and we surrender to him.
Amen.
And allow him to do so. Because, you know, we don't want to be people that harden our hearts.
That's true.
Where the Holy Spirit can't move upon us.
Right.
We want the divine nature to be operating. Not just to be in us, but to be in operation.
Right.
Working in us and through us. Christ in us, the hope and the expectation of God's glory, power, and his purposes and plans for our lives, not just for us, but for us through to others. Because, you know, that's the big part of it. These plans are not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others, so he can shine through us.
That's right. That's right. And there is nothing better that we can share with people than the gospel, than Jesus himself. If there is nothing else that we can share, that's the one thing we should always share with people. Sometimes we share so many things that are not useful, have no eternal weight. Why not give them what's going to make a difference in their eternity? And that is the gospel, that is Jesus Christ. And of course, we do not want to end this podcast without giving our listeners that opportunity. And we want to tell you, pretty much sum up, what the gospel is about. And the good news is that I'm going to say, medicine for the bad news. That's the good news. There's a solution for your bad news. And what is your bad news? Yes, you have bad news if you don't have Jesus Christ. And the bad news is that you have sin that has not been paid for. You have not been justified before God the Father. That means that your eternity is not going to be with him. It's going to be separated from him forever and ever and ever. However, the good news to that bad news is that Jesus, he took upon himself when he died on the cross to pay for your sins, so that if you believe in him and what he did, and you give him your sins, you give him your heart, you give him your life, guess what? He gives you in turn a brand new life. He gives you his justice. He gives you a new heart, and he gives you a reconciliation with the Father. What an amazing exchange. So today, now, like now, make sure that you make that decision. And wherever you are, and no matter whatever you did, and I mean no matter, what I mean is that he can pay for everything. There's no sin too big that Jesus cannot pay for if you truly repent and ask him to save you. And that is the good news.
Amen. That is good news. Matter of fact, that's what the gospel is called, the good news.
That's right.
And so we're going to end this podcast here, and I'm not going to say we won't continue on, because we may do a part six, I don't know, just yet. But I think this is really getting good, because when we talk about the divine nature, we have to talk about the specific characteristics of the nature of God. And first and foremost is love.
That's right.
Because it says that God is love. Didn't say he has love. We know he does. Mm-hmm. But it says he is love.
That's right.
And so we're going to build off of that.
That's
as we continue on in whichever direction the Lord has us to go. So we want to end that here and say thank you, everyone, for listening, and God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.